Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, September 4th, 2010, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki or Ea. Enki's interest in and love of humankind is well documented in Sumerian literature, and in Eridu, humankind flourished. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. That potential still exists where Enki buried it, deep in human DNA. Enki knew that the sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, a miraculous gift of Source, which was his delight, and the greatest fear of many other Anunnaki, cannot be oppressed forever. Where better to express the resurrection and actualization of this potential than in New Eridu?
Welcome, everybody. Taking your time off from your Labor Day weekend here. I'm sure you all have barbecues and things scheduled for this weekend if you're here in the United States. And if you're not, why not have a barbecue anyway? It's always fun. You can always barbecue vegetables, too. So it's a lovely day here where I'm living, which is near Austin, Texas. And we've had a break in the hot weather, which I'm very thankful for. So we're going to have a little bit of a low-key show here today, but we're going to talk about a really serious subject as we're doing it. And that serious subject is negativity. Before I get too far into that, I would like to go over a couple of things that have come up since the last show. The first thing is a little bit of an announcement. I've been working really hard on the New Eridu website, which is neweridu.net, not .com, .net. And I have radio archives will be coming up soon on that page. I do have a radio show page in place right now, but it doesn't look like it's been updated in a long time. That's because it's been sitting on my computer getting worked on. And that'll be deployed in the next few days. And I'll have archives in there. And a lot of people have been asking for names of songs and things that I play. I do announce those during the show, but I'm going to go ahead and I will put up the names of the songs. And then within a few days, as soon as I can get an approval, I will have links to places where you can buy the songs or download them for free if they're free. A good number of the songs that I play are free because I try to keep it as pod safe as I can, non-copyrighted or Creative Commons license stuff so I'm not going to get sued by the powers that pretend in their RIAA suits. I had a couple of questions that came up during the week, and I'm going to go ahead and try to answer those before we get into our main body of our topic. The first one was, do you see a transfiguration for collective humanity in the near future, like in our lifetime? Or will most of us just dump the meat suit? That's a really good question. It's interesting phrasing, too. I like the meat suit analogy. Actually, the transfiguration is going to be probably a lot more of a mental thing than it will be a physical thing, although there will be some physical changes as well. A lot of this is kind of in the TBD bucket, the to-be-determined bucket, because what we do leading up into this time is really going to determine the vector we take in the next phase. And we haven't really set our course that strongly yet. And that's one of the reasons why right now it seems like everybody's getting hit with a lot of negativity, either stuff that's coming up within themselves or stuff that seems to be coming at them from externally. So the answer is, I don't really know. I know some possible scenarios about which way that could go. But which one it's actually going to go into, and it may go differently for different people, too. There's a scenario out there that says we could split as many as three ways. Some of us may regress, go back to an earlier phase in evolution, start over, because we didn't do it right. So we have to start over, rip down, and get to the foundation that wasn't built properly to begin with and start over. That's not real desirable. We want to try to avoid that if we can. Probably nobody that's listening to this show is in that category. Very small likelihood, if you're aware enough and awake enough that you would be listening to a show like this one, you probably are not going to fall in that category. Now, there's another category that is continuing on essentially the way it is right now, including all the bad stuff that we want to get away from. Again, that's something we probably don't want to do if we can avoid it. However, if you're still hung up on things and material stuff and karma, and there's all kinds of things that can get their hooks into you and drag you down, you want to have all of that stuff cleared, including all the negativity and all the karma. And I'm going to talk very briefly about the karma as we talk about the negativity, because they're related, very closely related. There's another scenario that says that we could have another group of people that could split and leave the planet, go to a different one. I'm kind of personally hoping to be on that ride, because I have things I want to do that I don't want to bother the main sequence of human beings with those things. I want to just have the population that wants to live that way. It just increases diversity. Also creates a kind of a colony where it's not so likely that if something happens to humans on one place or the other, that would get wiped out. And then there's those who believe that we're going to go to be some kind of trans-dimensional being. Well, that's possible, too. We're coming up on a point where the energy is going to be such that it's entirely possible that we could split into new energy levels. And with dimensional physics the way it is, it could be infinite. No clue how that would go down. But no, I don't think we're dumping the meat suit. At least it's not a requirement. Talking about transformation like that comes really close to apocalyptic visions for some people, because I remember a few years back the debate was, well, when we get to the end times, does that mean we're all going to die? Is the big change that we're coming up on going to be an extinction event? And the closer we get to this, the more convinced I am that it is not. That the change is going to be fundamental, and it's going to be as if we had died. It's going to be a change on the same scale as death, but it is not necessarily going to be physical death. It's going to be death of systems that are no longer applicable, that are holding us back, thinking processes that are getting in our way, a death of a lot of old stuff that we don't need to be dragging around anymore. Those things are going to fall away and obsolesce, but it's going to be an obsolescence more than a death. It's not going to just, people think of death too negatively. Again, perfect theme for the show. Because when you pull the death card when you're doing tarot, that does not mean somebody's going to die. It might. But that's really unlikely. What's much more likely is it's going to be a fundamental large change. So I would say look ahead to the changes that are coming without fear, because it's going to come out right. Source is not going to allow this to go wrong. If you're all aligned with Source, you'll be fine. have another question today. And that came up actually yesterday or the day before. Somebody asked me about a reference regarding what stage of humanity's evolution was encountered when the Anunnaki got here. And the answer to that is that they were pretty much about equivalent, I guess you could say, to gorillas. They were intelligent, as they were intelligent animals. They had a very, you know, family-structured society. But that's just one piece of what human is. It's really hard to answer that question correctly because humans don't just come from monkeys. There's other genetic material in there. When the Anunnaki started messing around with the human genome, they pulled in genetic material from a lot of different things. We are the original GMO, the genetically modified organism. It's one reason why there are so many things about people that don't match anything in nature. Breeding cycles, etc. We've got things about us that that doesn't happen in any other species on this planet. And the reason for that is because of the engineering work. People are not just derived from monkeys, even though we are very close to monkeys. There's a lot of monkey DNA in us. But there's also a lot of Anunnaki DNA in us and a lot of other stuff in us. And I couldn't even begin to go down the list because I can be willing to bet you that there's hundreds of different things in there. That's why, for example, we have certain organs that are more like mice and certain other organs that are more like dogs and certain other organs that are more like pigs. Because we've got pieces of their code in ours. And we've got proteins that are expressing the same way as a result. And metabolic processes that have been woven together from all these different species. It's also another reason why we get a lot more autoimmune problems than other creatures do, because it was not a perfect weave. We were left in a debilitated state. The work on the human creation program didn't get finished. And then it was corrupted because we were getting too smart too quickly. And we were living too long, which was allowing us to get wise to some of the stuff that was getting pulled on us by the Anunnaki. And that was seen as a threat, and the order came down. You're either going to dumb these guys down and make their lives shorter, or we're going to exterminate them. And they almost exterminated us anyway. But all is not lost, because all of the good stuff is in there too. All that so-called junk DNA, when resequenced, will come together and make us what we were supposed to be. And that may be one of the things that's coming up here. It's certainly high on the checklist. So don't worry so much about where you came from. Worry more about where you're going. It's good to know where you came from in broad brushstrokes so that you have an idea of how things came together the way they did, causality-wise. Know your history. Try to avoid repeating it. But I'm not going to point fingers and say, you shouldn't have put me together from these different things. Because if you hadn't put us together as these certain things, we wouldn't be here. We would be asking them to undo 7,000 years of human living. Not just history, but how many incarnations are we talking about? How many billions of people would not have been here if this hadn't happened? How much experience would we have lost if this hadn't been done? Or if it had been done differently. When the Igigi got here, they pretty much started from scratch, taking bits of DNA and putting together a worker that was probably pretty, ended up being pretty close to a Lucy type, you know, the little early human that they found in Africa. Very similar. So they're about 3.5-4 feet tall, lived about 45-50 years at most, not the same as a chimpanzee, walked erect, had dexterous hands, had enough intelligence that they could follow the simple sets of instructions. That's what was left here when they went back home to move their people. When they came back, they found that evolution had been having a little bit of fun. Enki had thought he had seen it before. But when they got back, they found out that humans had really been evolving. And it was full-blown, and we were God-conscious. And we were not only God-conscious, we were trying to worship. And guess what? We were trying to worship them, because they were the closest things to gods that we had ever seen. And they ended up engineering us into what we are now. That's about the best way I can answer that question. So if you have a follow-up, I will try to answer that in another show. Moving on, I have another little announcement. And that is regarding a project that I've been working on now in one form or fashion or another for over a decade. And that is something called the Chautauquas. Chautauqua is a Native American word, and it was used in the 1920s through 1940s to refer to adult teaching and learning programs. They were held rather in the manner of a revival, like a church revival, tents and speakers, and the whole community would turn out and have potluck and dances afterwards and so on and so forth. Might be the only time in the year that everybody got together and got to see each other. If you have watched the movie The Green Beautiful, it's like the gathering that they had at the beginning of that movie, only they had a little more infrastructure. They weren't just sitting on the ground. The Chautauquas that they did in the past were two different kinds. There were the ones that were hosted, and there was a traveling group of people, like circus performers, that would do the circuit and put on the show. They'd be lecturers. They'd be people talking about politics, people talking about ancient history, people doing literary readings, dramatic performances, people who would sing, you know, not like, you know, pop star type stuff, but more like operatic, real cultural, deep cultural exposure that people in rural areas wouldn't get otherwise. And these things were really, really popular. They also sometimes would do these with religious themes, and that was the root of the revivalist movement that came along later. There was also, for those communities that weren't big enough or rich enough to have the professionals come through, there were companies that put out packets of information that you could buy and put on your own. You get the packet and you just farm out the content to different people who would volunteer to present it. They would learn the information and then present it to their friends and neighbors. And that second model is more like what I'm thinking about doing. And if anybody who's listening is interested in participating in that, just drop me a note. I'll have some information up on the website shortly. I've already got it up on the wet paint site. Now I've got a partial site at neweredu.wetpaint.com that has the Chautauqua information in there. That's an early draft of it. and I've refined it a little bit since then. But the idea is to bring the information that was already on the internet. We've already got information necessary about how to deal with topics regarding ascension and spiritual development, sustainability, surviving things if stuff hits the fan. It's already developed. All we have to do is to go through it, find the best of it, get rid of the stuff that's problem material, stuff with political agendas or is just plain wrong, and take that and package it up and distribute it to local groups that are having meetups and potlucks and getting to know their neighbors, which they need to do anyway. We don't do enough of that in the United States. And have these folks present the material and start talking about it. Introduce them to concepts they might not otherwise come into contact with, like exopolitics. And do it in a non-confrontational manner. We're just here to talk about this. You don't have to believe it, but you need to know it exists. So that's kind of exciting. I'm going to go ahead and move on to my main body of the content, and I'm going to have two callers, and I'm going to take your calls in just a moment. I'm going to introduce first the concept itself. And by that I'm talking about physically and mentally, spiritually. Physically, we're seeing increasing restriction of freedoms. We're seeing lots and lots of hateful and negative messages being brought forward, and accusations of hateful stuff where there is no hateful stuff, trying to create a problem where there isn't one. And we're also seeing on the individual level, in the last week I've had 7 people come to me with, out of the blue, I had some kind of a very negative experience and it seemed to be coming in from somewhere else. And in a couple of cases, I'm virtually certain that a person had been influenced by a negative entity. 7 people in 1 week. That is big time. That's telling me that things are getting nervous. We're getting too smart. We're getting too enlightened. We're scaring them. We're getting ready to upset their apple cart, and they know it. So they're throwing shit at us. Pardon my French. They're throwing it at us. So let's see what my callers have here. I believe this is my first caller here. 111, you are on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, who am I speaking with?
My name is Don from Charlotte.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
What would you like to talk about?
A couple comments on your program, some of your thoughts there. First time listening in, it's a good show. You mentioned that 7 people had come to you. It's probably a case of, there's so many waves in the air now. You know, it's so easy to project thoughts into people. So I kind of think that's happening on a mass scale, some sort of electronic mind control effort. I like your comments about there'll be a group of people that will be able to repopulate to other planets. Certainly, overwhelming body of evidence now is that there's billions and billions of planets just in our Milky Way galaxy alone. And if we can just are able to utilize the same technologies that the ultra elite are using right now, you know, hyperspace or wormhole technology, we'll have the ability to get there. So I think that's important to emphasize. That is our destiny, to colonize and populate other planets, and it's all given to us. It's all our gift. And I think it's sad that it's being kept for, you know, just a few. But for whatever reason.
I think the ones that are, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's it. Go ahead. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I lost you there for a second.
Yeah, you've been fading in and out a little bit the last 2 minutes, but go ahead.
Oh boy. Yeah, they have me on a new dial-in number, and it doesn't seem to work quite as well as the old one did. So, yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was going to go ahead and reply to a couple of things that you had said, and then if you have something else, please feel free to add when I get done. The first thing is regarding the wave in the air. It very well could be partially that. I think it's more than that, though. Since you're a first-time listener, you don't realize this, but I got involved with the Anunnaki stuff through magic. I actually had, in my magical studies, had studied a little bit, just enough about the Sumerian pantheon that I had gotten turned off of it entirely, and I thought it was all just, you know, junk. What I had come across, of course, was the most ignorant stuff that was out there, which was mostly based on things like the Necronomicon and people's imagination. Of course, the Necronomicon is a piece of fiction, but some people apparently take it seriously. So I had nowhere close to their straight story on it, but I had discounted it. And I had gone on for decades without looking at it again. And what I had was wrong. And then all of a sudden, I get contacted. And things start falling into place. And this entity builds up incredible credibility because he would lead me just so far and then say, go look it up. Prove it to yourself. And I would go look it up and prove it to myself. And that's how I came into learning about where we came from and how we got here. I'm not a channeler. I'm not, you know, one of these people that's a UFO person, because if you'd asked me, you know, 5 years ago what I thought about UFOs, I would have said, you know, they're BS. I can't, if I haven't seen it, it's not there. And I've seen most everything because I'm a magician and I get my hands dirty. I see stuff. I know what's out there. I have not seen a UFO. How can I have seen all these other things and not have seen a UFO? Well, I don't know why the answer for that is, but I do know that I've seen them since, and it's been interesting. So I think that having been involved on a peripheral basis with some of the PSYOP stuff, I actually had a really negative encounter with a CIA PSYOPs operative a few years back, and I actually learned some of their tricks from that encounter. I know that it is possible to put the wave in the air and be, you can actually aim one of these beams at somebody's head and make them hear voices.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
However, I don't think that's all it is, because I can kind of feel the vibe out there too. And you're not going to aim a beam at me and put a voice in my head. I'm virtually certain, because I can tell when it's coming, who it's coming from, and where it's coming from. You have to be really, really smart to get around me, because I've worked with a lot of strange stuff. And nobody tries it with me, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. But I feel that there is also a spiritual element to this, and there are negative entities that are at work, and there's multiples of them. And I'll try to talk on that a little bit later.
Well, I agree. There are evil forces within dimensions around us, just as we're at war. But I think...
Oh, we're ground zero on this war right now.
At the next level, there is no stopping the power of love.
True.
That what I've experienced in the next dimension is love is like an explosion going off when it's willed and used. So we need not, like you said, when we stay contacted to the source. So, but I agree, you know, things
Absolutely.
Happening on this
Stay
physical
contact.
Front, things happening in dimensions around us, but I believe that there are forces on this earth who are able, through technological means, who can bounce back and forth in between dimensions, who are building their dark forces on the other side as well.
I have actually I have a little bit of awareness of that,
yeah.
Very, very, very peripherally. I call them the powers that pretend, and I actually grew up in a household that was headed by one of them, and I was probably one of their experiments. Nothing else other than that makes sense of what happened to me when I was a kid. That makes perfect sense of it. But there are limited things that we as individuals can do as far as taking on the larger picture. Now, collectively we can, but we need to be able to come together relatively cleanly, or else we're just going to bounce off of each other like we have been for the last decade.
Oh, yeah. Everything is very fragmented and divided. And
everybody's
yeah.
ego is keeping it apart.
Well, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, they've got people, you know, very divided. And that's by design.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, what did you think about my second question there?
Okay, refresh my memory here because I talk too much.
Well, I had mentioned that about the repopulation, the exoplanet thing. What do you? I think that is our destiny. You know that there's other. You know,
It has to be done. This is a tricky exopolitical thing. It has to be done very carefully, and with agreement with those others who may eventually be impacted by this move. You may not realize this, but there are a lot of other civilizations out there, and everything I have seen is humanoid. I have not seen anything that wasn't. I've seen some that were kind of strange looking, but, you know, I was told by every entity I have met that we are all, quote-unquote, from the same root. They all use that exact same term. We are all from the same root or the same source. But most of them use the word root, which to me is different from source, which source could mean, you know, the collective consciousness, God, whatever you want to call it. Root means like a tree. A tree can have a bunch of different trunks and share the same root. That means that they're all genetically related on some level. And from the looks of things, they are. So, even if we develop the technology to go out there and populate another planet, we need to do it as a neighbor and not as a conquest. Because that's what we would do. Look at our history. This is something that scares them. Look at our history. Every time explorers have gone out and moved into new lands, look at the destruction that follows. The indigenous people, the environment, the culture, the language, so much is lost. So much is, we bring along our prejudices and our bad habits, and we don't adapt well. We have a history of that. We have
well,
to demonstrate.
Well, may I interject there?
Sure.
I interject there? I don't think that we were all working together like best we could. I mean, this is all our gift as Earth, and we're all part of the same body. So it's probably a case of two wrongs didn't make a right with the clashing of cultures, and it's actually a long lineage thing, this clash. So for you to necessarily contrast that to us going to another Earth-like planet and to assume that that would be the case again, I don't think that's a fair assessment.
Okay.
I think that, in fact, there's plenty of Earths out there. They're just virgin, you know, available for us without any existing cultures on them. So,
well, that may be. I don't know that for a fact. But, like I said, it's not a matter of what, you know, we understand how we got fragmented. We understand that it was the powers that pretend that or financing these conquests. We know that. But to an outside observer, you know how you go and how some people went into new cultures and they looked around, they said all the people looked alike? We all look alike to them. So we have to be really careful that they understand that what was going on there is not representative of where we are now. So we have a little bit of fence mending to do. So that's not going to hurt anything to go ahead and do that. Now, the powers that pretend that do have this technology are going to have a fight on their hands if they are the ones to take this off planet, because everybody knows about them. It will start a war if they try this, and it will not be a war that humanity wants to be in. So I need to save that one actually for another show. But yeah.
Well, if you're talking about billions of galaxies and billions of planets, I think there's enough room out there, for everybody.
But we don't know if they have a development plan. We don't know we're not the only species that is growing.
No. There's life underneath the moon's crust. There's life underneath Mars' crust. There's life on Venus. There's life at the bottom of the ocean, at the sea vents. There's life everywhere in various forms. And therefore, yes, life is everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I lost my other caller, unfortunately.
Oh. We'll call back.
Well, I need to get paid long distance for people, and I just don't have the budget for it right now. So, did you have any other questions or comments? Because I was going to go ahead. I don't have very much time left here to get through my rest of my content.
Oh, one last question. I went to your website, and it said something about transferring data from wet paint or something. That's all
correct.
It said. What is your...
Well, I actually have a radio section in there that I've developed. The wet paint is the URL that I gave over earlier. It's neweridu.wetpaint.com.
Okay, that's your current website?
Yeah, and I'll warn you, make sure your antivirus is up, because wet paint has been having viruses in the ads sometimes. That's why I'm moving it off of wet paint. If you have Firefox with AdBlock Plus, you'll be safe. So that's why I'm moving it. I'm actually going to be moving it again onto Spruce in the next month or so.
Spruce?
Because I want to get Spruce, S-P-R-U-Z. But I'm
is
still
going
to have my own domain name.
Is that like
it's
WordPress
another social
or something?
Networking site.
Oh.
No, it's a social networking site.
Cool. All right.
So,
well,
I have a lot of building
website
to
up
do.
Now. Very good.
Awesome. Drop me an email, neweridu@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that you get all the links and everything.
Okay. Well, keep up the great work.
Well, Don, thank you so much for calling in.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, Dream Master, if you want to call back in, you're welcome to do so. While we're waiting for Dream Master to call back in, I want to touch base a little bit onto the theory of the show today, which was negativity. Negativity comes in a lot of different forms. It comes to us from experiences that we had when we were growing up, from difficult people that are in our lives, things we've had to overcome, self-image and self-dialogue, stuff going on, disharmonious influences, things that the powers that pretend have been teaching us wrong, from negative entities. So let's see what I see Dream Master's on. So, Dream Master, you're on the air.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Thanks for calling.
Yeah,
what would you like to talk about?
Thanks for being here. Your show caught my eye, and I've never been here before, and thank you. Yeah, talking about negative energies, et cetera, et cetera. No, yeah,
correct.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I was going to initially start with one thing, but as I was listening on hold, it brought me to another. And,
okay.
Yeah. The way negative energy or negans are trying to get to us, yeah, they try to attack me all the time. And they, you know, disguise and morph themselves into wanting me to believe that they are something that they are, which they disguise themselves, okay, and try to trick, all right? And I do a lot of outer dimensional planning or travel. And, yeah, they that's, well, besides this 3D physicality, which they try to get to you at, which initially I wanted to talk to you about, is recognizing that and how negativity can dissipate quite quickly when you're aware of the presence of these entities on this 3D physicality. But in dream time, they're really tricky. And, yeah, they basically, for the most part, have, you know, given up trying with me. And, yeah, because like the caller was saying, you know, the closer you become to source, the less likelihood that you are going to be attacked, per se, and they will move on.
But on the other hand, when something does decide to attack you again, and it will, they're not going to let go that easily. It's going to be really smart and really nasty.
Yep. Oh yeah.
FYI.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Nobody's immune, including me.
Yeah, I know. That's why. The discernment of that is important, and yeah, you know, the more they're going to want your energy, the stronger you become, per se, and they will try harder to get to it, of course, you know, like taking over a few dozen lemmings is easy. But to get to a herder, per se, is almost like a trophy. And yeah, you know, I won't allow that. I won't let it, and I see it beforehand. And yeah, it is quite interesting, you know, to tell you the truth. And you know, I love the information that that you're speaking of. And, again, this is the first time, too, myself, that I've been on your show and or logged on to it anyway. And, yeah, I think what you're doing is wonderful and fabulous and, you know, great. So.
Well, thank you so much. And if you like the show, please favorite it. And that way you get notifications of when the next ones are. I typically do Wednesdays and Saturdays in the afternoons. Occasionally, I'll do a special show. So
that's probably why I've never connected before. But
so is that not a good time for you?
No, I work, right?
Right, I understand. I was thinking about moving to evenings, but there hasn't been a lot of demand for that. So I'll just drop me a note in the comments or something, and I'll be counting what people say about what time they want to listen. Of course, the archives are always available too.
Do you have somebody else on the phones that want to talk, or did you want to answer a question? I had a question for you.
Go ahead and ask your question.
All right. You do a lot of work in this field, and if I may ask, where do you find yourself in this whole existence that we're sharing right now? Like, don't know how to say this quickly. This just came to mind. But with what you're doing, how long have you been in this field, per se?
Well, that depends on how you look at things. My first experience, which I didn't understand at the time, I thought I was dealing with a spiritual being. I was only 3 years old.
Okay.
excuse me. So that was, it was so extraordinary that it colored the rest of my life from that point on. I essentially lived almost a full lifetime in a pocket of time that was out of the normal stream of time. I don't know how to describe it any better than that. So I came in, I went out of this time, lived a life, and came back as an adult consciousness in a child's body.
Right.
And it just, it changed the entire direction of my life. I didn't understand it. Because I was on the precept that I had a spiritual encounter, not an extraterrestrial one.
Right, that was that.
I didn't understand the time physics. I didn't understand the dimensional physics. To me, it was all magic.
Right, that was that.
And that's how I. Excuse me.
That's when you were three, when this first experience. So how long did it take?
I was three, coming up on four.
Right. How long did it take then for you to realize what it was?
When it manifested again, and that was about 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah. And I had gone into magic because there were things about me that were not human standard. And I was trying to figure out what those things were, and magic gave me a structure that was useful to me.
Okay.
I never practiced it the way some people do. I never did ritual magic, and I was always on my own. But I studied the same materials that magicians do.
Right.
And I used that as a structure. I had been used to, you know, rising on the planes and doing all this stuff, but I was doing it from the magical perspective. I was not doing it from a scientific perspective yet.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have my background, my education is in science. I was a math and a physics major in college, and then I went on and got a degree in electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that I have done has had to do with engineering and science,
mm-hmm.
and computers. So I use a lot of scientific terminology sometimes when I talk about these things. When things manifested to me again, as I understand it, what happened was a call was put out. A broadcast kind of call was put out from these entities trying to wake people up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the ones that responded.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow in my doing that, I was noticed by the entity that had originally contacted me. And we got back in touch. And he had told me before he left me the first time that it would be 45 years until we saw each other again. That 45 years was either this spring or next spring, not trusting my memory all that well as to which birthday I was on at the time. As a little kid, there was like a vagueness as to it could have been off a year. So it was either this last spring or this spring.
Right.
This upcoming spring. Right. And I expect him to keep that rendezvous. But in the meantime, there is an ongoing contact. We have a telepathic connection, and we talk. We talk just like he was sitting in the room. It's a conversation.
So,
and I get information, and he tells me stuff, and I look up stuff and confirm it, and I have this little piece of my brain that sits back there and goes, is that really real?
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And I just wanted to know what you did in between when you were just turning four to 3.5 years ago before you started the magic. Was there...
I started magic when I was very young.
Okay.
Because... Yeah. I knew there was something weird about me, and I couldn't put my finger on it.
Okay.
Well, you know, little kids always think that they're I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or not. I like being weird.
I know.
But
no, being abnormal is good.
There you go. Why be normal? What was I doing between them? All right. Well, without going into the gory story, as I mentioned to the other caller, I had had experience with growing up in a family that at least one of the members was in the upper levels of the powers that pretend, the ones that you never see in the world.
Yep.
And that there's a good likelihood that I was probably one of their experiments.
Right. Okay.
I did not come up in a normal fashion at all, and it was often very abusive. When the project lost, at some point, it appears the project lost funding, and they were stuck with me. And at that point in time, all of the resentments started to come out. And I went from being the kid who got every advantage to being worse than Cinderella. And I was like, what did I do? How did I go from being the golden child to being this horrible thing that they're trying to destroy? And I couldn't understand that. And for whatever reason, they didn't have the guts to just out and kill me. I don't know why that was, but they didn't do it.
Initially, you're a threat to them.
But they did everything they could to try to get me to take myself out. You know, I don't know. I don't understand that part of it yet. One of these days I'll come across something that'll make it make sense, because everything else that's been an outlier like that, I've been able to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
But by the time I got done with that, mm-hmm. by the time I got done with that, I was in my 30s before I started to get my head back together.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't go off and do drugs or get in trouble with the law or anything like that. I was always very straight arrow.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I came from a lot of disadvantage, because when I left home, I was on my own entirely. And I had a lot of disadvantages that I had to overcome because of that. And a lot of things where I did not get properly socially conditioned to deal with human beings. So I had to learn how to interact with people. It doesn't come naturally to me. I fake it really well now, but it doesn't come naturally to me. I had to study it. And it took years for me to make up that deficit. So I didn't actually start rolling on my life until I was in my 30s. And then my health failed. And there's reasons for that, too. But
I
wish I knew how to extend this show, because I would love to extend this show, and I don't know how to do it.
Yes, neither.
I think I'm going to play a song here and see if I can figure out how to extend the show. So let's see if I can do that. I'm going to play, called Hypnophis. Don't ask me why I named it that, by Kevin MacLeod.